Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
You know, there's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
That's right, Edith. Welcome to ENN, which tonight is brought to you by me, at Rosenberg Radio, on Twitter and Instagram. Go give me a follow. Check out my beautiful outfits that I wore this weekend on the WrestleMania kickoff shows.
Do it.
We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Get your bag.
And then we'll say good evening to Don.
Getting peed on is not the worst thing in the world.
Now, we have 15 minutes left to vote. 14, it says. It is still 52.7, Don's Eric Weddle drop. To 47.3, my football drop. 3,352 votes in.
Wow.
But there's 14 minutes left. It's still a 5-point game. So unless the football people really come fight hard here, Eric Weddle currently up 5. Okay? Now, we have a lot to get to here during ENN. First of all, did you guys see the NFL's all-decade teams?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Sort of fun to put out there real quick. I won't give you every single name, but I'll tell you the unanimous selections for sure. Defensively, you probably could have guessed. I'll let you guys guess. There are three unanimous selections on the all-decade defensive team. Want to guess?
J.J. Watt?
Correct. Don.
From the Ram.
Donald. Aaron Donald. Correct.
Aaron Donald. Yeah.
The third one.
Trouble with teams on the West Coast. That's why that
that's why the drop's so
winning.
Good.
Yeah.
Eric Weddle.
You needed your lifeline to know who kicked the game-winning field goal for the Giants.
By the way, Eric,
so you should ease up, home slice.
By the way, Eric Weddle's on the team. The last unanimous on defense was mentioned earlier in the show.
Unanimous.
He was mentioned today on the show.
Today.
Zach
correct.
Britton.
Von Miller.
Oh, really? Okay.
But Weddle made the team at safety along with Eric Berry and Earl Thomas. Chris Harris.
What teams did Weddle play for, Don? Home slices, you like to say?
Former Raven.
He was a current Raven. Current Raven. No, he's a Charger. No, he's a Ram.
And there you go.
Former Raven.
Replied.
Or current Raven.
Oh, like the game doesn't need him.
Sorry, he's a Charger now.
He's a Charger.
Oh, no, he's a Ram.
But you know what sport he plays?
Football.
Yes, football. They're playing football.
Defensive backs are Chris Harris and the Honey Badger. Patrick Peterson, Darrell Revis, and Richard Sherman are your corners. Outside linebackers, Khalil Mack, Chandler Jones, Von Miller. Keekly, Bobby Wagner, and RJ's very proud, Patrick Willis, your inside linebackers. Geno Atkins, Fletcher Cox, Aaron Donalds, and Ndamukong Suh, the defensive tackles. Mm. Calais Campbell, Cameron Jordan, Julius Peppers, and J.J. Watt, your defensive ends. All-decade offensive team. Again, these are four unanimous selections. One you're not going to get. The other three you have a chance at.
Randy Moss?
No.
No, he's not unanimous?
Mm-mm. I don't even know he's on the team. When was last year?
He's not on the team. He was done. No. He was done at basically at the end of the last decade.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right.
You're a disgrace. You should be ashamed.
How about Tom Brady is unanimous?
Correct. Here's a hint.
Gronk?
No.
Here's
a hint. One of the other unanimous players has something in common with Randy Moss.
Let's go Larry Fitzgerald, wide receiver.
Not. He is on the team. He is not unanimous.
Well, it's an outrage.
The other
you
unanimous.
Saying it's a Viking?
That's correct.
Did Adrian Peterson do enough?
That is correct.
Decade?
That is correct. That is correct.
And he's unanimous, really.
Unanimous.
Wow.
Joe Thomas, unanimous.
Okay.
And Marshall Yanda at guard.
Could you have let me guess, please? I could have gotten Yanda.
I know you would have went that way. Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers backing up Tom Brady.
Fair.
Now this is a fun one that you could do briefly. And it's so funny if we have a million stories, yet I still find guessing football things to be more fun. Can you guess the wide receivers, though? You already know Larry Fitz, obviously.
How about A.B.?
A.B. is a second. There are two more. One active, one retired.
Megatron?
That is correct. The active one.
How about Julio Jones?
That is correct. You guys are teaming up, and you're getting it done. Two tight ends, one active, one retired.
One's the 24/7 champion.
That's correct. Rob Gronkowski did win the 24/7 championship. So, you know what? I'm going to tie two stories together so we can keep doing this. Rob Gronkowski did win the 24/7 championship at WrestleMania last night. Here's what it sounded like. See how I'm tying it together?
Wait a minute. It is. It's Rob Gronkowski's up on the perch. Don't do it, Gronk.
Oh, my God.
Gronk took out everyone. Wait a minute. Gronk is covering Mojo. Gronk is the 24/7 champion.
God, it sounded weird without fans. Never mind
that's my buddy Tom Phillips on the call. Did a great job, but yes, it is strange. Gronk's the 24/7 champion.
So Jason Witten isn't one of the tight ends?
No.
Is the other tight end a Super Bowl champion?
That is correct, sir.
Could it be Travis Kelce?
Travis Kelce. Yes.
Jason Witten definitely could have been in the conversation.
I'm a little bit hurt here.
Why?
The tackles do not include one Trent Williams. My guess is he'd be the fifth one. You could actually guess these two, but it's Jason Peters, Tyron Smith, Joe Staley, Joe Thomas. I'll just skip ahead to the running backs. Frank Gore, Marshawn Lynch, LeSean McCoy, Adrian Peterson. The flex. You guys want to guess the flex? It's pretty easy. Relatively easy. If you think about it.
Darren Sproles.
That is correct.
Was he considered a flex?
That's correct. Okay. God, you're very good at the sports.
Yeah, but I lost Who Wants to Be a Millionaire today.
I know. Now, there is a little bit of controversy. People were hitting me up saying that because Michael
first.
You went first today?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because I chose to.
Okay.
That because Michael went first and Don... Wait, no. Oh, and Don, you won today, correct? Yes. So yeah. because of that, Don... I'm so stupid. It's really challenging.
Well, Don should have had to answer, but I didn't have to answer a question when Don didn't do it on Friday.
And was it the same thing, though, in terms of who went first?
Absolutely. He went first, and then he missed the thing, and then you declared me champion. So once I missed the thing, he became champion.
So in other words, you guys had the same amount of right answers both days and still won. I think it's just a faster way to end the game.
True.
What, first one to get it wrong?
Yes, because if you have to get another one right, it would be more fair
if the one who had the first question got it right, and then the one who got the second question got it wrong, because this way, as you said— the winner each day had the same amount of correct answers as the loser.
So we could do it that way, meaning that because the person went first,
right?
You know, it would be different depending on, because if you went second, then it doesn't matter. Once the person gets it wrong, it's over.
That's because Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? You weren't playing against somebody else. You were playing against the question.
But if you're just going to go to the first one to get it wrong, what if one of us gets the first question wrong? Then you could win without even being asked a question.
Excellent point, Donald. Excellent point.
I think you got to get at least.
I think Peter got the show on the air way before the bugs were worked out. Said,
"Well, it's a crazy time. There are people doing hits on television where the audio sounds like they're just screaming in a kitchen. So we're working things out as we go. But I think we may have to implement this tomorrow. I'm going to talk to the committee. Kobe
that means
Bryant,
Andrew, everybody.
That's right. That's Andrew and RJ. Kobe Bryant, Tim Duncan, and Kevin Garnett will headline a record-setting nine-member 2020 Hall of Fame class. Let's hear from Vanessa Bryant on learning that Kobe will be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
It's an incredible accomplishment and honor, and we're extremely proud of him. Obviously, we wish that he was here with us to celebrate, but it's definitely the peak of his NBA career, and every accomplishment that he had as an athlete was a stepping stone to be here. So we're incredibly proud of him, and there's some solace in knowing that he was probably going to be a part of the 2020 Hall of Fame class.
That was from SportsCenter. Very nice to hear from Vanessa Bryant. Let's hear from Charles Barkley, who's on Get Up, saying Kobe was the closest to MJ he's ever seen.
I think Michael is the greatest I've ever seen and played against. But the only guy I said, I've always said this, Kobe Bryant is the closest I've ever seen. I didn't get to play against Kareem in his prime or Wilt or Bill Russell or LeBron. But I'm telling you, Kobe Bryant's the best player I've ever seen other than Michael Jordan. Tim Duncan, no disrespect to Kevin McHale, is the greatest power forward ever.
Hard to argue he played against him.
Nope. It is,
and I think that LeBron's game is different. Like Kobe and Michael's game were somewhat similar. LeBron's game is more predicated on strength. Those guys weren't. More on athleticism. LeBron's an incredibly athletic player.
Right, but it is a different beast altogether. The Open Championship's been canceled due to coronavirus. The U.S. Open's going to be in September. The Masters is going to be in November, but the Open Championship, it's just not going to happen.
I guess that's because of the weather in England, right?
That's what I would assume. Yeah. It's just
same,
it just would
same reason they canceled Wimbledon.
Exactly.
There's no other time to play it.
But yeah, we will get a Masters in theory in November, which would be pretty cool. I mean, if we all get through this, God willing, somehow, and it doesn't come back in the fall, we figure it out, there's a vaccine, miracles happen. Man, you talked about a crazy sports schedule. How interesting would it be to have the Masters in November?
If we get sports back, it's going to be unbelievable. If we get sports back, like everything in September and October, it's going to be a potpourri of sports that we've never seen or will ever see again at the same time.
Windhorse at Sea spoke on Get Up about what the NBA needs to do to come back.
I'm going to say this very clearly. Testing, testing, testing. Forget about fans and arenas. Forget about bubbles. The only way this is happening is with mass testing that is available, political free, where you don't have to worry about taking it away from somebody who needs it, and you can get quick results. Until there's testing, everything that we're talking about here is pie in the sky.
Right.
That's the reality that is shown us in Asia. That's the reality the NBA has.
Couldn't agree with him more. Again, the temperature doesn't even go far enough because people are asymptomatic, although our mayor didn't know that until about 72 hours ago in New York City. People are asymptomatic. They don't have temperatures, and they're carriers and they're spreaders. So the only way that you can play these sports is if there is testing that could be done within 10 minutes. And the tests are right. available, but there's still not enough tests for people that need it.
And also, and Windhorst said this, and I think it's important to note, that it can't come at the expense
right.
of the general public. It has to be where testing is just available to everyone. It's as easy as just making an appointment with your doctor or going to the pharmacy. Because, boy, it would really be politically incorrect if all of a sudden there are people like waiting for tests, can't get them, but we got results for sports. Can't have that. So I don't know how feasible that is. That seems like it's a lot quicker down the road than I think a cure or a vaccine is. So
forget about politically incorrect. It would be ethically wrong.
No, it would be awful.
Let's hear from Jeff Passan, who talked about what Korea is doing, what South Korea is doing to try to get their baseball season started in a couple weeks.
I talked with Dan Straley, who was with the Oakland A's and Cincinnati Reds, Miami Marlins, and Baltimore Orioles. He signed a one-year deal with the Lotte Giants this offseason. And he goes down to Australia, where they have training camp and the coronavirus outbreak happens. And they can't go back up to Korea for at least a couple of extra weeks. But by the time they get up there, South Korea, had done a really good job of containing the outbreak. And so while the season got pushed back from a scheduled March 28th start. They are on pace to play exhibition games against other teams on April 21st. They're going to play six exhibition games, and if all goes well there and nobody tests positive, no players, no R&D people, no people cleaning the clubhouses, they are going to start games that next week, and we can see actual baseball, albeit with no fans in the stands.
And if you read the story, it really gets interesting. So Hank Conger used to play in the States and now is a coach on that team. It details how he went into a bank without a mask covering his nose and mouth and was told by a security guard he wasn't welcome. And then Straley went into Costco and he was stopped at the door so someone could wipe down a shopping cart and ensure that he was wearing a mask before he entered. Would that work in this country? I don't know.
I saw a video they were explaining about like the measures that South Korea goes through. That they showed like a woman trying to get on a flight. They take her temperature. She has a high temperature. They immediately test her. She's COVID virus positive. Put her in a cab. Drive her to a hotel room where she had to stay and isolate for 2 weeks. Like that's not happening here. Okay, we're not going to do that, right? I mean, how could you feasibly do that where you're just going to like put a person in a cab, send them to a hotel room for isolation? It's just you can't do it. There's too many people. There's too many freedoms that people would believe would be violated if you were to do that. It's so hard to conceive that with all the freedoms that we have, we're going to give all that up.
Now, the thing that differs, there's a lot of things that differ your states from South Korea. In South Korea, they averaged, according to Jeff's story, 658 new cases from February 29th to March 5th, but averaged only 99 new cases in a 25-day stretch from March 12th to this past Sunday. The U.S., by comparison, has witnessed almost a steady rise in the amount of new cases over that same stretch from as low as 329 to as high as 34,196 reached on Saturday. So you can't say that we're on the same timetable. We're not close to their timetable yet, and we don't have the stringent measures that they take.
The only reason we were on the timetable is we both had someone test positive on the same date.
Right. But besides that, it's completely different.
We have more people
who listen less.
Now, they do have a lot of people in a small, like, dense population. South Korea does have a very dense population, but again, they were able to control their citizens almost immediately. And you're still seeing, despite the fact that we're almost a month into this, how many states now, still eight, have not had a complete shutdown?
Yeah. Yep.
The NBA and ESPN are in talks to show a horse competition featuring several high-profile players. This is where players, and this is according to Woj, and players would be able to do horse from their homes and challenge other people to shots. I mean, listen, is it going to replace an NBA playoffs series? No. But would that be fun? I think so.
It was, I saw that, and I was reading the reactions just to see. Got very lukewarm reception.
I love it. But why would it be lukewarm? You'd see a competition. Nobody would be hurt. You'd have, either the wife or the kids filming dad shooting a horse game. It'd be great.
Great, I mean, strong. It's
better than what we have.
No, absolutely. But yeah, it's
now. By the way, we are down to.
By the way, before you. Okay.
Michael, do you want to say something?
Well, Andrew just texted me about the wearing the mask in South Korea. He said a friend of mine actually got yelled at yesterday for wearing a mask. A woman on the street told him he was part of the problem for contributing to the hysteria.
Here or in South Korea?
Here.
No, you got to ignore people like that because there's still a few of them. Just ignore them.
Did you see the, I think it was hysteria, a pastor down south who said that it was an overreaction and he got it and died.
That's what we call congratulations. You played yourself. Also, while we mention the horse idea, the NBA is doing a 2K tournament, and it's underway. And yesterday, Domantas Sabonis played against Montrezl Harrell.
Montrezl Harrell.
They each played with their own team, the Pacers and the Clippers. And while they were playing, Sabonis got mad about how video games Sabonis was playing. Here's what it sounded like.
What the hell, Sue?
Now, here's
Come
on, give me one.
Oh, yes,
oh
sir.
My God, he sucks. He really sucks.
He was him?
Yeah.
He was
talking about himself. The quarterfinals all are set, by the way, in the 2K tournament. Mm-hmm. Derek Jones Jr. against Montrezl Harrell and Devin Booker against Hachimura from the Wizards. Trae Young versus DeAndre Ayton and Andre Drummond versus Patrick Beverley. It'll all be on this on ESPN on Thursday, and it concludes on Saturday.
I think was it the eNASCAR has actually gotten a pretty decent reaction too, where the drivers are themselves in the game.
Yeah, that's one that's actually particularly cool because it's a sport that you can do with a kind of, you know, reality to it to some degree. We mentioned it earlier, the Hall of Famer, Bobby Mitchell, passed away at 84 years old. Famous for a lot of things, part of the maybe the best backfield of all time, Don, with Jim Brown in Cleveland, before heading to Washington, where he was the first black player on the Redskins back in 1962. That's... The Redskins also, my classy team, the last to integrate, it should be noted.
Just think about that, 62, really?
This happened after basically George Allen was... where George Marshall, I should say, was forced to integrate. It just wasn't going to happen.
And you continue to root for this organization.
No, they're horrible. There's a lot. Well, there's also, but then I grew up with great history. You know, I grew up with the first black Super Bowl winning quarterback as the quarterback for the Redskins.
Speaking of quarterback, did anybody catch any of the Peyton's places?
No, I haven't.
It was phenomenal. It was like the whole day on ESPN2. You know, it had been on exclusively on ESPN+. They were so good, so good. So if you have ESPN+ and you have some time to kill, go watch the Peyton's Places. They were unbelievably entertaining.
Also on this day in sports history.
It's Jim. Good to have you on the show.
Good to be here, Jim. Thank you.
Check that. Chris Everett. Good to have you on the show.
You know what? You know, you've been calling me that for about the last 5 years.
About 2 years, actually, Chris.
Well,
somewhere along the way, Jim, you ceased being Jim and you became Chris.
Well, let me tell you a little secret. That, you know, we're sitting here right now, and if you guys want to take a station break, you can. But if you call me Chris Everett to my face one more time...
I already did it twice.
You call one more time, we better take a station break.
Well, it's a five-minute segment. Our five-segment show. We got a long way to go.
Well, we do.
We got a long way to go.
We do.
I'll get a couple segments out of
you. Well, it's good to be here with you, though.
Well, it's good to see you, too.
Because you've been talking like this behind my back for a long time.
But now I said it right here.
Right, exactly.
Well, we got no problem with
that. I think that you probably won't say it again.
I bet I do.
Okay.
Chris,
I got to tell you what I don't support violence, and I know Jim Young, Jim Rome, not great, but he's always been very nice to me. Jim Everett should have just crushed him.
I disagree.
To be called that to your face, he had every right to do what he did, every right.
There's layers to what made this so good for Jim Rome, the implicit sexism of the comment.
Right.
And also the need to completely deride him. I will say, I'll give Rome credit for one thing. I've never heard a talk show host be that ballsy with the actual athlete sitting there. Never.
Well, he was kind of
forced
to do it.
Pretty much made him be that gutsy. He had to. Otherwise, he'd look like a complete wimp.
I cannot back up Jim Rome for doing it in the first place. Because as Peter said, it's derogatory towards women, as if Chris Everett is weak. And so that's an insult to Jim.
By the way, you know what the difference between Chris Everett and Jim Everett is?
Champion.
Chris Everett's a world champion. She's an all-time icon. Jim Everett was a middle-of-the-road quarterback for the Rams. But anyway.
But here's the problem I have with Jim. If you've got that big of a problem with him calling you that, don't agree to go on the show.
But maybe he wanted to have that happen.
But then why didn't you? But he said it to him. He called him Chris twice. And then he kind of built up to that kind of reaction. So... It just seemed very orchestrated to me by Everett, because if you're that upset with him, don't agree to go on. Or if you agree to go on, the second that he says Chris, then get angry and try to jump him. He said it twice. And then he probably figured he won't say it again now that I'm threatening him. And it backed Jim into a corner, Jim Rome, where he had no choice but then to say it again. Otherwise, he would have came off weak. But you know what I'm saying, Peter? If you're that upset, then why did it take at that moment to finally, you know, attack him?
Why didn't you jump him earlier when he said it twice?
I will tell you this, though. And I thought that Peter just brought up a great point. He thinks he's deriding Jim Everett by calling him Chris, when Chris Everett was one of the greatest champions that tennis has ever seen. So he's calling Jim Everett an incredible champion, but because Chris Everett was a woman, that was a real, real slight. I mean, I don't think that Jim Rome could get away with that now.
Well, no, he couldn't. That's such a fortunate thing that has changed. But I mean, without saying too much, I'll just say this about our society and the way we treat women in general. Just think about what the most offensive thing you can call a man is when you think they're weak. Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about what that word means in reality and what that word means when you call it to a man. It's sick. We are a sick, sick society. It's just back then, it was much more common. You called someone by a girl's name, it was like a huge insult. Guys, drop madness is over. A champion is crowned, and for the fourth straight year, that winner comes from the Don region. 3,696 voters have made Eric Weddle a 52.2 winner over football at 47.8.
Former Raven.
Replied.
A current Raven.
Oh, like the game doesn't need him.
Sorry, he's a Charger now.
He's a Charger.
Oh, no, he's a Ram.
It's the right drop to win.
Usually we don't take long drops to win, but that could have been 5 minutes and it was still worthy.
Now, it should have won. It did win. It's glorious.
Thank you so much. I mean, to win this four straight years is pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
And the fact that over 3,600 people voted for it, it's cool. Thanks to everybody that competed. And I thought Peter had a tremendous drop. But I'm kind of torn because there's the part of me that's happy to be a champion. And also happy that I didn't have to hold rest on my laurels just screaming as loud as I can, right?
See?
So I kind of bucked that trend, which is nice.
We knew you were better than that.
But Peter brought a legitimate drop that shows his talent and his humor and how much fun he is as a person. My drop accentuated just how dumb I am as a person. So I'm going to celebrate this. I'm going to take the victory. But
you should.
It does come a little bit tainted by the fact that I'm a moron, and that really helped it win.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.